in this episode.
When health problems occurred, they're first off never our fault. We so rarely actually make the tie of, it's not just your genes. It's not just like what happened with your family. It's lifestyle choices that we made. And so when there's not that personal responsibility there, you're just left as a victim. And sure, it removes the blame from yourself, but at the same time, it gives you no power to actually make a change.
Learn to perform. Practical lessons so that you can immediately learn to optimize your health, happiness, and performance. Welcome to another episode of Learn to Perform. I'm your host, Braden Ostepchuk. And with me today is a great guest, Trevor Harris. And I'm super excited to talk to him. I actually connected with Trevor, must have been a few months ago, and we had some great conversations. We've had, I think, a lot of ideas that are very similar, and we're both on very similar missions, but he has a whole nother perspective of the world, and he has access to so many other experts and research and experiences that I can't wait to bring onto my show here today. So Trevor is actually the host of the Your Health Class podcast. It's a terrific podcast. I listened to a bunch of episodes, and we're going to let him talk about it a lot more later. And essentially what it is about educating people on how they can live healthier lives. And the whole mission is to create a healthier generation. And he has had guests that range from an incredible list. I have a list in front of me, so I'm going to quickly tap off on a few different things. He has life coaches, naturopathic doctors, breathwork experts, diet experts and nutrition experts, yoga and meditation, relationship coaches, personal trainers, professional athletes. I mean, literally just about everything from sleep to microbiome to epigenetics to diets, everything in between. Trevor has talked to people and experts and has continued to learn and evolve his understanding of it. So he has a diverse background. Super excited to talk to you today, Trevor. So thanks for coming on.
Dude, thank you for that intro and thank you for having me on. Feel like you're underselling yourself here a little bit.
Well, man, you know, we both started off probably similar times. I think you started your podcast a month or two before me. It was definitely before I don't know exactly the time frame, but you've put out a ton of content. And just for reference here, just as I'm going to humble myself, I think I am at, as of today, when we're recording, I think I have 26 live episodes. And last time I checked yours, which was not too long ago, I think you were at 99. So I don't know if you've cracked 100 yet, but you've been just booming with content and guests. And I just keep following it through your social media, through everything. I was like, wow, I got to catch up to Trevor. Trevor's leading the way, which is awesome and fantastic. So super excited to have you here. And I would love if you just maybe want to, before we get into everything really quick, give a little bit more background about you. What got you into wanting to empower people to live healthier? What got you into health and fitness and nutrition? And then also what got you into podcasting?
So, you know, I have this like really deep story about how back after high school, I was dating a girl, you know, the story always starts.
Right.
She was the love of my life, AKA my first girlfriend. And then she broke up with me. And at that time, completely broke me. I mean, we all know how the first breakup goes. And
of course.
So I was like, you know, I'm going to get her back. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And so I started going to the gym. And it really all started there. But this started this whole process where for the next year, I made zero results. And then I got frustrated. I quit. I had to keep trying to find different ways to overcome this. And then as I kept learning, and it finally just clicked for me. And then that's when I was able to like start actually changing my health. And there's one specific moment I remember driving in the car. I was actually commuting about an hour and a half to Sacramento. I live in the Bay Area. So I was commuting about an hour and a half to school. And I was driving along these like levee roads, like lost in thought, because about a week ago, I had found the Model Health Show with Sean Stevenson.
Right.
And it was like the second episode I was listening to. It's like, oh, this is really interesting. And at this point, I'm still in that mindset of, I just want to get bigger. I just want to look good and make my ex jealous. Like that was the exact mindset I had.
Of course. Which is very relatable for many, many people. We've all been there.
And at this point, driving along, and then it was actually an episode about epigenetics I was listening to. So I started listening to this because epigenetics, I was like, oh, maybe like these crappy jeans I have for weightlifting. Maybe I can find a way to switch those off or something right. like that. But it turns out there's so much more to it. And I remember like on these levee roads that are like windy and literally one wrong turn and you're off into a river. And I'm just like lost in thought, just trying to both absorb what he's saying and not crash my car. And just thinking about like, I've been doing this all wrong this entire time. Like, it's with epigenetics. It's not about your genes. It's not about like what your family has done, like what you've inherited. It's about taking control of your own life. It's about changing your lifestyle, exercising, focusing on diet, all these different factors. And then how that contributes to your overall destiny, I guess you could say. Seems like a very deep word to use here. But just how much control you actually have over your own health. And then rewinding a little bit, because this is something that I had never like put together, but at this moment it clicked, is that I'd be sitting in my bed at 15, 16 years old and like just having crazy heart palpitations. Like, I'm just sitting there. I'm not doing anything. My heart should not be palpitating at that young of an age. But then I had that fear in my head because I had seen my dad, my grandma, actually just grandparents on both sides go through heart issues. And so based on like what I had learned in school and just all my like previous knowledge, like, oh, well, there's nothing I can do about it. My heart's just going to be like this. That's just how my life is. But in this moment, fast forwarding back to when I'm like trying to not swerve off the road on these levees, you actually have power in those situations. You're not just a victim of your situation. There's so much more you can do. And that's what like made me fall in love with health. And then ever since then, like I was going to, like I was driving off to school. That was like my second to last semester in school because I was like, this is not my purpose. This is not like my passion. Like after that, I went all in on health. And then that's pretty much what's led me here to this point. Cause I started personal training. I started health coaching and then it ended up of like, I had to really slow down and I went through a really reflective period of my life during COVID. And we talked about that when I had you on my show.
Right.
And we went through a very similar thing where we had a really hard point when COVID started, like mm-hmm. a hard mental point. And I just completely stopped. Like when COVID hit, I just completely stopped for a couple months. Like, and at that point, I was not in a good mental space, not really showing up in life how I know I should have. And it was through this that I like had to fight and get myself back on track, get myself into the mindset again, and having to rebuild that for a second time, or probably more than that. But but then that's when it kind of came to me that I think a podcast is where I need to be. Like, right. That's what changed my life. That's how I think I can impact others' lives.
Right. And when I'm listening to this, first of all, this is a fantastic story. But it's not just about I'm interested in health and fitness and I want to be a fitness coach and it's a passion. There's a deep rooted purpose in your life. There's a deep rooted mission where this is psychologically, this is how you have become and this is how you have transformed as a person. And it's deep rooted, like going back to your family and to your heritage and to your childhood. And when you're having these issues, it's, you know, I think it's really important to realize for people that you are doing this as a mission because you are also living the mission. It's not just about, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. It's saying, I'm going through this too, and I'm trying to learn it as well. But I also want to share because I realize that your situations that you went through, especially with this last year and a half with COVID, millions and millions of people have gone through something similar, regardless of what stage of their life they're at, regardless of where they're at in their health, their wellness. Somewhere along the lines, we've all hit some pretty hard roadblocks and been in some tough places. And a lot of it then is how do we break out of that? Because it's almost like you'd said, you brought up the victim mindset and you're caged into this spot and boxed in. But maybe, just maybe, we are boxing ourselves in, right? It's like you had said, well, you know, my parents and my grandparents had X and Y happen, so it's going to happen to me. But is that really us just being a victim? Are we just conceding to that possibility? So in many ways, is that an active choice? Are we choosing to be the victim as opposed to, are we going to take the choice that you've made? I'm going to choose to see how I can change every variable and choose to live my best life and become the Trevor Harris that I want to become or that I'm supposed to become in my life. It kind of almost makes me think of David Goggins a little bit, you know, he's choosing the David Goggins. He's going to be his alter ego. So does that sound kind of what it is? Like a lot of this comes down to taking complete ownership of your life and some ways that we can do that. And what I want to talk to you about is you have been doing a program called 75 Hard, and I have never done it before. And I'd never actually heard about it until I saw you posting about it. And so I would love if you talked about what that is, what's the point of it, and why should someone consider it? Because maybe it's not for everyone. I think you just posted that it's not for everyone. So
yeah,
how about you introduce 75 Hard? Because honestly, I only know from what I see and not a whole lot.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about it or just explain what it is really quick. And then I'll just tell you guys about the transformation. So
perfect.
What it is it 75 straight days and you're going to do two workouts a day. One of those is going to be outside. These workouts need to be at least 45 minutes. You're going to drink a gallon of water a day. You're going to follow a diet plan. So there's not some specific, you have to do keto, you have to do vegan, you have to do this, that, or another thing. It's just, you set your own guidelines. Like one time I did do keto. And so it's just the fact that you're going to set guidelines and you're going to stick to those no matter what.
Right.
No cheat meals, no alcohol.
So it's largely discipline in this sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's more or less just like the diet, like right now, like my diet is much easier to follow than it was because I'm in a little bit of a lean bulk.
Right.
I'm not trying to like lean out like I was doing with keto. And to be honest, the challenge was a lot harder when I was trying to go. That's a whole nother story.
Right.
So you're following the diet and then you're going to read 10 pages of a self-development book a day. And every single day you're going to take a progress picture.
Okay. And so those are the rules. That's it. So it's not overcomplicated. You have a checklist. It's I don't know if that's around eight points, give or take, that you check
like five,
those off.
Five main things. So you got the workouts, got the diet, water, progress picture, and reading.
Reading. Okay, excellent. And so where did you discover this? And this is pretty popular, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's really picked up steam. So I don't know if your audience or you're familiar with Andy Frisella.
I'm familiar with him a little bit, not extensively.
So he's got a podcast, or it used to be called the MFCEO Project. Now it's called the Real AF Project, or no, just the Real AF. And then he also is the owner of First Form and Supplement Superstores. So he's doing pretty well for himself.
Yeah, he's successful. He's done well.
And so this was a program that he created where he was really just trying to push himself for, I think it was just some comp, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was like competition he had for some of the people around him. And he's just going to push himself for 75 days. And then when he's coming up with this of like, oh, I'm just going to stick to these rules for 75 days. It like clicked up how challenging this actually was. So he started talking about it on the podcast. And the next thing you know, like people just took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like a fitness challenge on the surface. Like it really, really does. But it's not. It is 100% mental toughness.
Right.
Developing the grit to be able to push through no matter what. And so I did this back in 2019 when it first came out, and it probably took me like 8 attempts to not fail.
Right. And the rules are clear. If you miss a day, you start from day one, right?
Yeah.
That's very strict. Like, Okay.
That's what makes it so challenging is because it's essentially creating your perfect day and then repeating that 75 days in a row.
Yeah. Which is extensive. I mean, anyone who's trying to break a habit, usually people have a hard time getting to 1 week, let alone, you know, 75 days is, you know, 10 plus weeks, 10, 11 weeks. So that's a long time.
Yeah. And it's really intimidating when you start like that. So when I first started, I'm not kidding you, I failed probably nine or so times. And it was for the stupidest crap. I'm talking like I'd forget to take a progress picture, or I would.
A 10 second effort for the day, the easiest one, you know, and you're like, oh no, I can't believe it.
Or I would like do half my reading in the morning, like get cut off and then forget to go back and do the rest of my reading. It was all these just like simple things that you overlook. And it really teaches you, like, if you're not going to pay attention to the details,
right,
so much you're going to be leaving on the table. And you don't even realize how much you're leaving on the table.
And this also ties in with ownership and taking choices, because yes, that is time consuming when you add up, I have to do all these things. There is a lot of commitment to that. But when you think about the fact that you have 24 hours every single day, you know, you can choose how to spend those 24 hours. So let's say you take, you know, a couple hours, let's say it takes 3 hours total to do everything on your 75 part list. You know, you have a choice to block off a non-negotiable 3 hours spread throughout that period of time. You know, you can, that is a choice in many ways. And I understand there may be extenuating circumstances if someone's traveling or doing some crazy jobs and specific, in which case, well, then maybe 75 hard, we'll just have to restart after. But, you know, this is really about taking ownership for your life, which is something that you've been on a mission to do as well. So it kind of fits in perfectly with your own mission.
Exactly. And that's like the wildest thing is you'd think that you start a challenge like this and it's going to consume your entire life and there's nothing else you're going to be able to do. That's true to a point, but at the same time, every time I do this challenge and I'm in the middle of it, it forces you to be so efficient with your time that you actually end up getting so much more done, because it's essentially just cutting all the BS out of your right. life. And yeah. So going back to what we were talking about a minute ago with the COVID, like when all that hit and we're on lockdown, this is what was the game changer for me.
Okay.
I spent like 3 or 4 months just feeling bad about myself, going back to that like whole victim mindset, like there's nothing I can do about it. And then one day I like woke up like, you know what? I need to start the 75 hard again. And then that's actually when I got my mom, my sister, my dad to all do it with me.
Wow, that's awesome.
And that was probably the best 2.5 months of my life, or not the best 2.5, but some of the biggest growth periods of my life.
Right. Right. So because, truly in many ways, a life-changing period, like you transform mm-hmm. from a dark place to thriving in many ways.
Exactly. Because in this time period, I went from like being depressed, not doing anything with my day, just sitting around waiting for whatever in the world to happen so I could quote unquote get back to normal to, right. You know what? I can't control these things, but what I can control is I'm going to get up every day. I'm going to do my workouts. I'm going to read. I'm going to work on the podcast. I'm going to do this, that, another thing. And so my situation changed from there's nothing I can do to this is an opportunity to build a podcast. Whereas before I was struggling with time to like, this is something I wanted to do for like a year before this, but I didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden I had all this time, but I wasted a big chunk of it. And that's the thing that I love about this is that it forces you to put things into perspective.
Right.
Like when you start a challenge like this, it shows you what your priorities are. And like I talked about on my Instagram the other day or yesterday, is I put a post out like 75 hard isn't for everybody. Because if you're going to go into it, like, just half go into it, not full send. I'm going to give this my all. I'm going to conquer this no matter what. If you don't have that mindset going into it, there's a good chance that you'll lose more confidence than you'll actually gain.
Hmm.
And this is simply because you're going to fail doing it, especially if it's your first time and you don't have like a good support group. You're going to fail doing it.
Right.
But if you don't go into it understanding you're going to fail, you're just going to have to overcome that and learn to just conquer that and make the best of it and find creative ways to work around, then you're going to risk losing more confidence in the end than you would have gained.
Right. So if to just quickly build off this then, if I am sitting here or anyone else, but let's just use me for example, and I'm considering, should I do the 75 hard or not? Because I feel like I need a little bit more discipline. I feel like I've gotten lazy, especially because I just recently had some vacation. I was all over the place. So I want to get into something where, okay, it's time to get back into it. what should I think about? What should I consider when trying to decide is 75 hard right for me? So obviously a big one right there off the bat is, am I committed or not? Would be the first question someone could ask. Like, am I serious about I'm going to give my all, regardless of whether or not I think, oh, it's going to be easy, I'm going to get through 75 days, or you know what, I'm expecting to fail at some point. It, you know, you have to make sure you have that commitment. But what are some other things that I would want to think about, or anyone else saying, is 75 hard right for me? Is this the right time? Should I go for it or not? What are some things that you've had experience of starting it multiple times and going through it? What do you think could help people if they say, you know what, maybe I should look into this?
I would just go off two things, and it's not asking yourself, are you ready? Can I do it? Like all this stuff, like you're never going to be ready. I was not ready when I first started. I wasn't even ready when I started it that next time. I was at very bad points in my life. But the thing is you're never going to be ready, and that's what's going to transform you.
Right.
If you're doing something that's inside your comfort zone, then you're not going to grow from it.
Right. So it's almost better that you're not ready for it, because that's automatically taking you beyond your comfort zone.
But to go off of that is, first off, you need to be fully committed. Like,
right,
this can't be something you're going to go into and, oh yeah, I'm going to do the 75 hard, yada, yada, yada. Like, just go about it. It's got to be something that you fully commit to make sure that you take it seriously, because you're going to need to make changes to your daily routine in order to get everything done.
Right.
And then the second thing is, how do you approach failure? So this challenge can teach you how to approach failure. But if you have a, like me, what if you had a really unhealthy relationship with failure? For me, like when I first started health and nutrition and all this stuff, like when I first started working out, the reason I didn't get results for that first year is because I would work out for a month and then I would fall off because I wasn't seeing progress. And then I'd work out for 2 weeks and then not see progress. I would work out for 2 months, 2.5 months, and then not see progress. And the thing was, is every time I did that, I would lose confidence because I wasn't able to stick to it. I wasn't able to see that there's going to be benefits down the road, and that the struggle, the failure was just expected. I didn't have like that healthy relationship with failure. And this went back to school. Like in high school, I was the smallest kid on the football team, and I got frustrated with that, which, I mean, you might see me now and like wonder how I could be the smallest person on the football team. Because I'm like 6'2", like no matter my weight or anything, but I'm 6'2". How could you be the smallest person on the football team? But believe it or not, until like junior year of high school, I was 5'6" and 115 pounds.
Right. Yeah. Late bloomer. I was the same thing. I bloomed real late.
And so when things got hard during sports in high school or in classes or anything like that, I would just quit. And so if you have that mentality going into the 75 hard, you're not going to be able to get these benefits, because you're going to hit those failures. And if you just quit, there's a good chance you'll just lose more confidence.
Right.
And so what I recommend people, if you don't have that healthy relationship with failure, like you can see failure as something that's A, inevitable, and B, going to help you grow, then work on that relationship first and conquer some small habits first. This could be just getting on a regular exercise routine or starting the reading habit, or just start some of these habits that are part of the challenge. Create those and realize there's going to be days that you fail, but if you can start sticking to those, that's going to help develop that relationship in your brain. And then boom, once you go into the 75 hard, you'll actually start getting stuff from it. You'll actually start getting results.
Right.
And then that's just going to increase your confidence, and you'll see that you can actually do it rather than like jumping in too soon. And then you just get discouraged from it because like, oh, I can't do it. I can't do this. It's just too much. And I can't handle like failing all the time.
Right. So What I was hearing in that, especially when you were talking about mindset, I want to talk about this as our next part, is ditching comfort and the importance of it. And also to go along with that is the difference between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. Because being in that victim, well, I'm not going to get any better, or going back to the very start of our conversation, and well, my parents or my grandparents had this happen, so it's going to happen to me. You know, that's that fixed mindset where you're boxing yourself. And the growth mindset is saying, like you had said, it's inevitable. Failure is inevitable. You know, good things and bad things will happen. That's fine. But I can grow from everything. Everything is an opportunity to grow, especially when you go beyond that comfort zone. You're in your nice warm bed and you say, you know what? It's 5 a.m. in the morning. It's cold out. It's raining. I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to go for a run, you know, something like that, where it's like really uncomfortable, but that's where you start growing and realizing that, okay, I have some potential. So you have been talking this whole time of everything, of all the guests you've had, you've been really focusing on mindset. And I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit more, if you can, on why you think mindset is such an important piece for everyone in improving their life, whether that's health or fitness or anything. Why is mindset so important?
That's the funny thing, is that was never the intention when I started the podcast, and never the intention I had when I started coaching people. Mindset was always a part of it.
Right. It's just there.
Yeah. But the thing is the more I got into it, the more guests I interviewed, the more work that I did with people, like hands-on, I realized intuitively, most of us know at least how to start being healthy. Whether it's just eating more vegetables, going for a walk, going for a run, maybe just move some weights in the gym. Like, none of these things are inherently hard, and I'm not trying to discredit all this stuff.
Right.
Because like, there's a lot of skill that comes into building a program. There's a lot of skill that comes into building a diet. And there's definitely things that we can do to up-level all these things. But it came back to, if people intuitively know at least these are some of the starting steps, why is it so hard for us to stick with those, or us to like just do those and see where that leads us?
Right.
And so as I was uncovering this, interviewing more guests, just putting out more content, it started like clicking more and more that much of our childhood, so much of what society's conditioned us and like school, we're really stuck in this comfortable mindset that, well, going back to the school example, the whole idea with school is go to school, you go to college, then you get a nice secure job, you get your 401k, life is great, life is peachy. It's just one nice long track. All in your comfort zone. At no point you're really stretching and growing outside of that. I mean, you'll have your challenges along the way, but how much are you really having to push yourself in that?
Right. Are you pushing your limits as a human being? Or are you just kind of following, you know, the pre-described course that's already laid out for you? Someone already paved the road. You're just driving it.
Exactly. And looking at, well, even my plans were to go to college, become an engineer, and work those jobs. I made those plans in the sixth grade.
Right.
If I'm following the plans I had in the sixth grade while I'm like 20 years old, how much is this really serving me at this point?
Right. Exactly.
Because I like woke up one day and I was like, yeah, I'm good at math, but I don't like what I'm doing. I don't enjoy it. And granted, you don't need to love your job to be able to do it. But the thing is if I'm going to go into a career just for the money, how unhappy will I be my entire life?
Right.
And so that's just one example, a little bit of a tangent.
Yeah, it's a great example though, and relatable too, right? Because I think a lot of people are probably in some sort of careers where it's like, well, this is safer. Or this is better, or this is just what society describes as being optimal, but I really don't like it. And, you know, I go home every day and complain about my job. So it's, you know, is that where you want to be then? Is that where you want to stay? And then how do you get out? I mean, it's a dialogue I think a lot of people have. Mm-hmm.
And then driving it back to our health, it's when health problems occurred, they're first off never our fault. Like, we don't, like with diabetes, for instance, we so rarely actually make the tie of, it's not just your genes. It's not just like what happened with your family. It's lifestyle choices that we made.
Right.
And so when there's not that personal responsibility there, you're just left as a victim. And sure, it removes the blame from yourself, but at the same time, it gives you no power to actually make a change.
Right.
And then you go to the doctor and they're not talking about like the lifestyle changes you need to make, how we can actually treat this condition. We're talking about, here's this medication, here's that medication. Like, we're not solving the root problem here.
And you're further perpetuating the mindset, well, the medication's not working and doc says it's not my fault. He says the only thing we can do is try a couple of drugs. And if the drugs don't work, well, then, you know, I guess I'm out of luck. And it's just building off that idea instead of saying, you know, we have accountability or we can take ownership of our health, especially when we start talking about health and disease issues. And I think nutrition is such an important aspect. I mean, if you just stop for a second and think that the average human, I think it may be just the stat in the US, eats 2,000 pounds of food a year, something like that. You know, and food, everything that food is, whether we're talking on the level of our microbiome or impacting our epigenetics or impacting everything physiologically and psychologically within our body, food is digital information. And that's the input we put into our body. In addition to, there are toxins, you know, oxygen, the air we breathe, water we drink. But in general, food is one of the most high volume pieces of information that we input into this machinery that we have, our hardware. Our body is our hardware, right? And so if you start thinking, well, over 10, 20, 30 years of inputting thousands and thousands of pounds of digital information, if you're putting in the wrong information, you know, you might be getting the wrong outcome, you know? So maybe we need to put more weight into that, our lifestyle choices and our lifestyle factors, is saying, you know what, maybe this is the biggest issue. And maybe this is the key to getting to the root cause, instead of just, you know, slapping on Band-Aid treatments, which a lot of medications in many ways are, right? It's like, well, we can relieve your symptoms so that you can tolerate it, but unfortunately we can't fix your problem. Like, that doesn't seem like a good enough answer. There's got to be a better answer than that, right?
Well, it's, so you take that. And so that's what made me like really dive into the nutritional science for years. I was just reading every nutrition book, every study I could just get my hands on, just tearing through it. And so I developed this like really vast knowledge of how to deal with these conditions, how to actually help people. But the thing is I was trying to explain that more and more on the podcast. And then I'd find myself coming back to it. You could have all this information, but if you can't get your mindset in the right place,
right,
the information's useless.
Right. I mean, I think a great example is you could read a study, you know, you could have a scientific study and say, listen, this information, they just concluded this. These are the best experts in the world. They're saying if you remove processed foods, or if you remove high sugar junk foods, like the worst foods, basically like chemical products that you just put into your body, and you remove that and you replace it with nice whole foods, you can make all these changes. And you can tell someone, they're like, that sounds great, I need that. And then a commercial comes on for like a bag of Doritos or something. You're like, you know what, on second thought, I'll have the Doritos. Those sound a lot more appealing than years and years of discipline and hard work. And that it really, the challenge then isn't necessarily the knowledge. I mean, in some cases, perhaps access to knowledge and information is lacking for some people, which is completely understandable. I mean, it's complicated and it's hard to communicate everything, and there's misinformation everywhere and everyone's skeptical. But the biggest roadblock is that mindset. It's once you have that information, how do you do it? I think there was a great quote I was reading the other day that knowledge isn't power. Knowledge with application is, you know, because knowledge alone is one thing, but as soon as you can apply it and use it and leverage it, that's when you really have something. And then that comes back to mindset, which is what you're talking about.
Well, that's exactly that, because this is great knowledge to have, because for instance, with me, is I can help people some very specific things, people that have been stuck for a long time that can't just follow the basic nutritional information, like cut this, cut that, add this, add that. They need some more help to actually repair their metabolism. Like, I can help them with that. But at the end of the day, it's really just, even for them or even for anybody, you still got to get your mindset in the right place into that growth space so you can actually start pushing yourself to make those changes. And so that's what got me really passionate about just getting out of your comfort zone. Because if you can ditch that comfort zone, like, understand that all the growth and all the good stuff in life comes from getting out of your comfort zone and pushing yourself to that next level. It's not just going to be, oh, I want this. So you stay exactly where you are, where you're at in your comfort zone. And then it just magically comes to you one day.
Right.
That was the thinking I had for many years, at least. It's like, oh, well, as long as I stay in my comfort zone, one day I'll have this job and it'll be all great. All my problems will be solved. But at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing in life, you're going to have those problems. It's just about how you're going to overcome them and what's going on in your life. So you'll have different problems.
Yeah, exactly. You can't envision the problems you're going to have in 10, 20 years, because who knows? I mean, things are changing fast, and even just the outlook of the world is changing fast. Like, who would have thought 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago that, you know, in 2020, I'm going to be out of a job and I'm not going to be able to go to a restaurant, you know, or I'm not going to be able to go to the bar to drink down my sorrows after losing my job. I mean, who would have predicted that? Obviously, not many people would have had that in mind. So you have to, this is really, I like you said, grit earlier was another word. Another word that I think of is resilience. You're building yourself, and through doing a program like the 75 Hard, you're training yourself to be gritty and to be resilient and to be adaptable to whatever life throws at you. So when the next pandemic blindsides you, it doesn't really blindside you. You pivot. You pivot on the spot and say, you know what? I still have my core habits and my core discipline in place, and I can respond and adapt and grow. And then, you know, there are people that entered this pandemic that were probably in a position like that. And those are the people that found ways to adapt and say, this is a golden opportunity. And you see some people that took the pandemic and started thriving, new businesses and new people that just transformed their life. Probably the minority of people, most people probably got hit and maybe took a step backwards, which is understandable. But now if you can build yourself up, so when the next thing happens, whatever that is, whether it's on a global scale or just in your personal life, that is all of a sudden an opportunity for something even grander. And the next thing you know, like, who knows what you can become? Like, what is your potential really, right?
Exactly. And what's really interesting is you look at like the creator of the program, Andy Frisella. Mm-hmm. His business over the last year has quite literally gotten to the biggest point it's ever been. Mm. Which is insane to think about when you put all the things, take everything into account. And that, to be honest, those first couple months of the pandemic, you wouldn't think anybody's even thinking about their health. And if they have to cut down, like, supplements are probably one of the first things that they'd be cutting down.
Right.
But yet he's able to pivot and find ways to help his business thrive.
Right.
And that's what the 75 Hard teaches you, is that life's going to throw crap at you. You're going to have crappy days. But if you can learn to pivot and still get things done, that's where your opportunity's at. And that's where your transformation's really going to come from. Your transformation's going to come from those days that you don't want to do anything. Like, you quite literally want to sit on the couch all day and watch movies. But instead, you get up, you do your tasks first, and then all that stuff comes secondary. So you're now putting your transformation in yourself first, and then everything else in life is going to come after that.
I love that. It's just, it's all about that just discipline, right? Like, just getting hard. That's why it's 75 Hard. It's just about being hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is like, if you go into it expecting it to be hard, then you're not going to be shocked on those days that we just described. Like, the days that you don't want to go for that walk or that, like, do that workout.
Yeah. You're like, you know what? This is actually really hard. Today is really hard. Oh, good thing I thought it was going to be hard.
Exactly. And again, right there is mindset. Because if you approach, you have challenges come into your life and you're like, okay, this sucks. This is happening in the world. That's happening. You're just a victim of things are coming at you. But if you're expecting it to be hard, then guess what? Like, you're on the attack already. You're moving forward. You're trying to, like, find ways to pivot and maneuver. And so that way, things aren't going to phase you as much. Hmm. And so that's just some of the skills that you kind of learn from the challenge, along with attention to detail. Like we were talking about earlier, the little things like the progress picture.
Right.
Or making sure you read the full 10 pages, making sure you work out the full 45 minutes. all these things make a difference and are going to apply to so many more aspects of your life than just fitness.
Yeah, it transfers through everything, right? Like, I mean, it really is. Fitness is just like one little piece of it. It's an easy marketing tool. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to get, you know, my six pack ready for the summer. But it's not that. It's more than that.
Exactly. It's just the gateway. Or I've honestly lately been thinking of it as more of a modality to learn all these other skills for life. It's just one thing I can go in and practice all the hard things in life. And so when hard things hit me in life, I've been practicing for this. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, let's do it. Like, all right, just another day. It's Tuesday. It's another Tuesday. Let's do it.
And then another thing that was really surprising about the podcast, I thought I was going to hate it, is the outdoor workout. I never thought much about going outside or doing anything like that. I go to the gym and that's my thing.
Right.
So I was stuck in that mindset. But the thing is I don't even do any like really crazy outdoor workouts. I mean, I'll go for a run every once in a while or do some sprints and stuff like that. But 90% of the days, it's just a walk. And the mental health benefits from just getting outside, walking, like that's my form of meditation at this point. Just having time alone with my thoughts and just clearing my thoughts. Like,
yeah, it's wonderful.
That is probably one of the biggest things that switched up my mindset during COVID. It's just more time in nature, more vitamin D. Like, we've seen the research come out on that. Like, the number one way to protect yourself from COVID is getting that vitamin D.
Yeah. The numbers aren't just, you know, suggesting like they, I mean, obviously everything comes with, you know, there's a little bit more you have to look into, but the numbers are pretty, pretty strong. The differences between having sufficient vitamin D levels and having deficient vitamin D levels are substantial, substantial differences in the onset of symptoms or, you know, worst cases in COVID. Like, some of the research we encourage people to look, I know the Model Health Show had some awesome, Sean did some awesome research and completely broke down a ton of it. And it's drastically, drastically different, the outcomes for people that are sufficient in vitamin D. So like, it's amazing, just something so simple and free, unless you live in, you know, maybe the North or South Pole and you don't get as much, but anyways, it's excellent, excellent for people to, you know, be aware of. Something like that is such a powerful game changer.
Well, that, and once you've been locked up in your house for so long, that fresh air, like, my God, I can't even talk about, this isn't even like some scientific study I'm going to reference, but just go outside and get some fresh air and you just feel so much better.
Right. Yeah. And anecdotal evidence may not be the gold standard in science. And as we try and move the world forward, but anecdotally, if something works for you, which I think anecdotally for probably everyone on the planet, getting outside and getting in the sun seems to make us happier. I mean, that is definitely motivation for me to keep getting outside. I've made it a priority. I have my own habit tracker app, and one of the habits my goal is every day is get outside and get sunlight. And, you know, maybe sunlight's not a possibility every day, but still get outside, just get outside every day. Like, that is on your non-negotiable. This is what you need to do to live a healthy life. And even if it's only 15 minutes, I mean, it doesn't have to be 10 hours a day, but it matters. And I feel a lot better when I go outside. Like, if I'm tired and I'm stressed out or I'm working on a computer, looking at a screen, I just need to go outside. And it's amazing how fast that can help.
Well, what was that post that you had a week or two ago that was like the difference in heart rate variability of people just going to a national park over the weekend?
Oh, it might have been one on forest bathing. I don't know if I had one on HRV, but I just posted one on forest bathing, and there were two different studies that found that natural killer cell activity, so anti-cancer proteins and enzymes, were drastically, drastically higher for people that spent, you know, I don't know what the time frame was, but arbitrarily a couple hours out in the forest. And, you know, but there's tons of research. There was another one I just posted today about, there was a study, I can't remember what publication it was in, but saying that if you spend 120 hours in nature, markers of health and well-being, which could be measured, you know, biomarkers, which in many ways could be cortisol levels, for example, so stress, or you could look at subjective rates of happiness and wellness and how you're feeling or stress, people are substantially higher after just 2 hours of time in nature a week. So, I mean, really, that's not even a substantial amount of time, whereas people that were a lot less, they found that the difference in stress levels and or their markers of health and wellness from someone who was 2 hours of nature a week versus zero was the same as the difference between someone who exercised the recommended amount and someone who didn't exercise at all. And that's usually one of the gold standards for, wow, this is how you influence your life. And they also found that the comparison was very similar to differences in socioeconomic factors. So when they compare people from, you know, high income levels or higher middle class, let's say in society, and people that are low below the poverty line, which generally correlates with different qualities of health and well-being, as well as different neighborhoods, people that live in nice neighborhoods and people that live in lower neighborhoods. So again, socioeconomic. And again, they found that 2 hours in nature versus no nature was potentially, at least in their specific study, as significant as those other factors to contributing to health. So that's, you know, pretty powerful, because we always look at those as being major contributors to health and well-being.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's fascinating. So
we have the anecdotal that we just talked about, but science is also backing this up at this very same time.
Yeah, exactly. Which is very reassuring when you're like, you know what? I actually felt really good today because I, after a few hours in the sun or being outside, and then, you know, you read something in a science paper or research publication says, you know, hey, maybe getting outside is good. It's like, you know what? Two for two. Okay. That's good enough for me. I guess I'll go outside again tomorrow.
Yeah. Cause when I first started this, I was like, this is going to be the worst part about the challenge. But by the time I was done with the challenge for the first time, it was the best part about it.
Right. You look forward to it. That's your meditation. That's your break. You've worked hard, especially depending on how you line up your day. But if you lined up, let's say your outside workout and you're going for a walk in the evening to unwind, you've worked hard throughout the day. You got up, you did your hard workout, you've done all your water, you've done your work, you've done your podcast. And then it's like, this is my time. You know, I can relax. And I think that this is probably a big contributor that maybe is overlooked in terms of the impact and the suffering that a lot of people have had being in a dark place with COVID, because when a lot of restrictions started, there were a lot of limitations on what people could do outside, inside, places are closed. And so even just by nature, even if let's say, okay, I could still go for a walk and go to the park, by the very nature of having things closed down and less to do, the majority of people were just inside. And then you work from home. So I don't even have to walk out to the car. I don't even have to go outside to walk into the building. I just, everything is inside. It's just bedroom to living room, to kitchen, to office, to bedroom, to living room. And so just by nature, people lost a lot of that time spent in nature. And I mean, I'm sure that is one of the many contributors to why people have had such a difficult time during the pandemic.
Yeah. And then you're not changing your environment at all, like you're saying.
Right.
At least before, I was like, I could go to the gym. I could go get some work done at a coffee shop. So you're getting all these like little changes, but now you're just in one environment. So if you get in a bad headspace and you're not changing your environment.
Right. It's just going to reinforce every day because you're just going to experience that same bad environment, those same negative connotations from the previous day. You had a bad day at work and then you spend your weekend in the same room that you were stressed out and bad before. I mean, that's full of sticky notes and to-do lists and papers everywhere. I mean, maybe that's not ideal.
Yeah. I mean, really this last year has just been one big old experiment that we've all been under.
Yeah. And I mean, the good thing is with a lot of people and the work that you're doing with your health classes, we're starting to be able to address and unlock some of these things and say, you know, we've discovered a lot of answers that maybe we wouldn't have before. So if the pandemic didn't happen, definitely you would be in different places and everyone would be a little bit different, but maybe your podcast still doesn't exist. Maybe your understanding and your approach to 75 hard or to mindset and to how to live an optimized life, but also how to coach and how to help people that you're doing. Maybe that's all still a little bit less progressive than it is now. So, you know, and that comes back then to building up the right mindset and the resilience is you got faced with major adversity. And then how do you adapt to it and then create something out of it, which is awesome, right?
Exactly. And I actually did a podcast on this. I think back in season one, though, it's been a long time that I've been thinking about this, but I've noticed that there's been two people during the pandemic. There's been the people that had that backslid or stayed in that victim mindset. Then there's people that saw this just as an opportunity to do new things. Because at the end of the day, whether this was good or bad for you, life has changed and you've had opportunities to do things differently. Whether, let's say if you're working from home now, this might mean that, sure, you're stuck at home all the time, but you've cut out your commute. You have more time with your family if you're home with the family. And if you're home all the time, you have more opportunities to work on your own health. Hmm. And so you could view these as opportunities, or you could literally take those three things and frame them as negatives. man, I have more time with my family. Man, I don't have any time to get out of the house. Man, I don't have, what's the point? I can't even go to the gym. So
yeah, I can't go to the gym. I don't have the nice squat racks in my house. So I guess I can't work out now. I guess it's over for me. I don't have dumbbells that go up to 125 pounds. I'm, you know, most people can't even come close to 125 pounds. I don't need that much. I'd be fine with probably a 30 pound dumbbell. I could get more than enough done, but it's like, oh, well, I can't get the 90 pound dumbbells. It's also funny though. I mean, like a lot of people, I know for me, like when I would go to the gym, there's probably only 20% of the equipment or that I'd ever actually use. It's great to see the gym. You look around, look at all these great things I have access to. And then 3 years later, working on a gym, it's like, I don't know how that machine works. Like never used it.
Well, that was the hilarious thing because I was blessed enough to have some sort of workout equipment this entire time. But for probably like 3 or 4 months, the only thing I had was this kind of rinky bench setup. So it was like a solid bench and then just had a built-in bar holder essentially. But with just that one barbell and probably like 200 pounds of weight, I was able to not really lose any muscle, just getting creative. And that was another thing that was a really interesting consequence of this, or something that was interesting that happened, is that it really forces you to get creative and think outside of your comfort zone of, instead, I'm just going to do the exercises I know I can do, but now I'm trying all these different things. And I actually found like 3 or 4 exercises that are still staples of my routine just because I had to get creative for a little bit.
Yeah. Invention or innovation is born out of necessity, right? Something like that. Exactly. Where I had to do something to mix it up. And that actually resonates so well with me because I had no equipment. Well, essentially no equipment. We have one in the house. We have one 20 pound dumbbell and a yoga mat and elliptical. And then I have a few resistance bands I bought, which are great because I can get a lot more done with the resistance bands. And so I haven't been back in an actual gym in, you know, it must be like 15 months now. So it's been a long time. And I've basically spent the whole time, okay, how can I adapt? And I know we had talked briefly about tempo training. And that's how I kind of got into tempo training, said, okay, essentially most of what I'm doing is body weight. So what can I learn from calisthenics? What can I learn from different tempo training? What can I learn from plyo, from, you know, how can I induce different neuromuscular and endocrine responses to my body based on what I have? Is it different sets, different reps? Am I trying different jumps? Am I trying different things? And it's amazing how much my workouts have evolved and changed from stuff before. I'd be like, well, I don't have a gym. I guess I can't work out. Now it's like, well, what workout am I going to do? I can do a million things. What do I want to work on? You know, it's incredible how you adapt and pivot and realize that, wow, there's actually a lot more that's available. If you take that mindset approach of saying, this is an opportunity to discover something new, maybe better, maybe not, but something new.
Exactly. And that's that growth mindset. Like you put yourself in that mindset, looking for growth, looking for opportunity. And now you'll see all these opportunities coming towards you. And all these opportunities are coming. That's when your health starts changing. That's when the rest of your life starts changing. And so many people are looking for the results. And if you look at the motto for the show, the thing I say every time when I introduce the show, the first thing I say is lose fat. Mm-hmm. And that's because I know for me, and I know for just about everybody else, you don't get into health for all these altruistic reasons. No. You get in because you have a specific goal to lose fat. You want to look different. But then that's why the next line is ditch your comfort zone, because this is a transformation you'll be going on. And then that ends with changing your generation.
I love that. And it really does build off each other.
These are all just steps in the journey. As if you don't come into it with that, have that reason that I want to change my health for this reason or that reason, chances are, why are you going to touch health anyways?
Right.
Like we all start somewhere, and those physical reasons are a really good place to start.
I mean, that's the reason that I ever got into it. I mean, I got into obviously for playing sports as well, but why have I sustained it is because, you know, like everyone else, we are superficial, ego driven species. And that's okay. I'm not going to deny that. I want to look good. I would like to take my shirt off and feel confident in my body. And I think most people agree. And if that's what's going to get me in the gym, if that's what's going to get me up at whatever hour or get me to do a workout that I don't want to do, if that is enough fuel, then that is perfect. In fact, if I can tap into that fuel even more, then why not? You know, if you can know your why, that's going to get you through it. Because at some point you're going to need some sort of, I know David Goggins has his cookie jar. It's a little bit different, but you got to have something to tap into when things are hard that you can just like pull out something and say, okay, this is going to get me through it. And if that's what it is I need to burn fat or I want to lose fat, or I just booked a vacation to Mexico, then if that's what it takes, like book that flight, you know, because it makes a difference to have some sort of reason, because that's also in many ways just kind of pushing you that first step and getting you out the door. Once you get out the door, it's a lot easier to take the next steps and the next steps to keep getting easier and you keep getting more motivated. But it's so hard to break that door down at the start or to open it.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important to find a deeper why after. But this is your initial why. This is what's going to get you in the door. This is what's going to start the transformation. You can take steps to find a much deeper why from that. Like psychologically, why that's so important to you. And that's going to push you through more than that superficial why, because let's face it, you'll hit points along your journey where I know I should get up and go to the gym, but I'm not really seeing that many results anyways. So what if I just skip a day?
Right.
It's not going to change how I look. So if you have like a much deeper psychological, feel it in your like soul every time you say it, why? Right. Now that's going to get you up. That's going to get you moving.
Right.
So you can find that, but getting in the door with your first why, like looking good, losing fat, and then understanding that to actually have this transformation, you're going to need to get out of your comfort zone. And if we want to change our generation, it comes from us all getting out of our comfort zone and then stop being so divided.
Right. Yeah. So many things. And when we get out of our comfort zone, that makes it a lot easier for us to help inspire other people to get out of their comfort zone, which is, I just want to loop this back now to your health class. And because we're running out of time here. So this is exactly what you're doing, is you have gone through this process yourself and you're still going through it, as we all are. And now you're able to start sharing and empowering people. So I love, for people that are interested to listen, you've got a ton of content on just about every topic, way more than even we've discussed today. So where can people find your health class? Obviously it's a podcast, so I know Apple, Spotify, and probably just about everything else, but where can they find you, get in touch with you, learn more about you, everything about Trevor Harris, your health class that you want to plug in right now?
The best places to find me right now, Instagram at Trevo Harris. I couldn't secure the R in there.
Yeah. That's okay. And I will link to that as well. And I will make sure that people can see that. So yeah, Trevo Harris. So there's no R in, or there's no second R in Trevor,
I guess. And so that's where I'm going to be most active. That's where I'm trying to push all the content out, and just that's where you'll see the most up to date on me. And then the podcast right now, we're on season 4. And so episodes are coming out every Tuesday and Thursday, one with just me and one as an interview. And we're having on a different guest every week, just keep things fresh, get new perspectives in there. But those are going to be the two best places to find me. Don't want to make it too complicated and just throw out a bunch of places.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Instagram is fantastic, and you have constantly tons of great information. And it's great too, because while a lot of people love podcasts and love longer form, it's great to have just that short form, quick little snippets, quick little, you know, I got 15, 20 seconds, you know, let's give me just these spark notes quick to kind of, or these even just little motivation reminders, just keep you kind of going. So that's awesome.
Exactly. And it's like your transformation is accumulate, like it's a sum of all these small things you do. It's not just one day you're going to do one giant task and you're done for the rest of your life.
Like, yeah, that's it.
End all be all workout. I'm going to eat amazing and just completely conquer this one day and you're done. It's just a sum of all these like small little things. A good workout here, a workout when you don't feel like it there, a good day of eating, finding compromises on the weekends to maybe still have your favorite foods, but stay on track with your goals and making that conscious decision that right now I don't need to eat an entire bag of donuts.
Yeah, I probably don't need to. I want to, but I don't need to. And I can choose to overcome, you know, those urges, just because this is one of those moments that is hard, especially if you really have cravings for a certain food at a certain time. But I'm going to overcome that. I'm aware that these challenges are going to come. I'm going to embrace it. And this is an opportunity for me to build resilience, to build more grit. So the next time it comes, I can say, you know what? I've turned down the donuts before. I can turn them down again.
Exactly. And then you have these like little snippets on Instagram from you, from me, from all these great influencers. And they just add to that sum. Just change your mindset little by little. The next thing you know, you'll look up in a year or two and be like, whoa, who even am I?
Right.
I know every single year, or probably every 6 months, I'm a completely different person. And it's all just a sum of what I did those last 6 months.
Right. And that's super exciting, because when you realize that, you're like, well, what is 6 months from now, Trevor, going to be like? What is 12 months from now, Trevor, going to be? And then it just kind of gets you like, well, what do I need to do today so that I can build that? And who knows, like, where are my limits? I don't know. They don't exist. So let's push them. And that's super exciting.
Exactly. Because to be honest, it's going to take some sacrifice, especially at first, especially before you start enjoying working out or enjoying the healthy foods and your palate's changing. If you don't realize this is serving your future self, then I at least tend to take the easy route and be like, okay, well, right now I want pizza, and I don't see what's the point of doing something for the future when I can enjoy pizza now.
Right. This is the classic conundrum that we all face is, well, I can have pizza now. I can have pizza in the future too, I guess, but.
Yeah. So that's all I want to leave you guys with today. It's just, don't try and take this as such a big, big challenge. Break it down little by little. And all these little things you're doing are going to be the sum of your results in the future.
I love that. That's amazing. Now, just to wrap up quick, I love asking everyone for one piece of advice to optimize health, one piece of advice to optimize happiness, and one piece of advice to optimize performance. And it could just be one answer for everything. But if you had to just rapid fire, you think of health, happiness, and performance, what are some of the most important things you think people should focus on? And you can take your time, of course, because I didn't prepare you with this question in advance. I don't know if I did. I'm trying to catch you here spontaneous.
I would say two things.
Okay.
One, spend more time outside, like we've been talking about, just to kind of tie everything together. Because if you're first starting out, or even if you've been doing this a long time, getting a little bit more time outside and even just going for a walk is an amazing thing just to add to your routine, because it's not going to be like super stressful on your body. But if you're first starting out, this can actually start getting your body to lose weight.
Absolutely.
And if you've been into this a long time.
Got a guest appearance here for those who will watch the video.
If you've been into this a long time, this could be a way to just get some more slow movement and slow everything down a bit. Especially, I've been considered a little bit of a type A in the past. And so for me, it's not about trying to speed up, because naturally I just want to go fast. Yeah. Naturally, I just want to
do
go
everything
for it
all the time. Yeah,
exactly. And so I actually just need to find ways to slow down. And like, this is one way just to slow down a little bit. And then the second thing is setting aside time every day to either listen to a podcast, read a book, just get in the mind of somebody that has what you want. Because that time, whether you have time that day to actually go hang out with somebody that's successful, has the body you want, has the finances you want, has all these things, you can do that like on your commute to work, or first thing I do every morning is just my 10 pages of reading. I like to do more than that, but if I can at least get those 10 pages in, is that's what gets you into that growth mindset the first thing in the morning. And so all the little times you can find to grow and push yourself, that's what's going to make your transformation work.
I love that. Powerful. So just this, the simple spark notes for people is try and get outside and give yourself an opportunity to learn something new. So take advantage of the vast resources available from people who have dedicated lifetimes to learning about these different things. And we can, it's condensed down and summarized, and we can get it a lot quicker than they learned it by reading their book in a few hours. Yes. They spent a few decades, you know, preparing that.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, Trevor, thank you so much for the time. I love doing this, and I'm sure maybe in the future there'll be more ways for us to connect, but this is a great conversation. I think some of the most important stuff that maybe gets left on the radar. I know sometimes I get so into the nitty gritty of the science and the details, and you get so hyper-focused, but really so much of it just comes down to this core and this foundation. And you have that through mindset that can open the door to everything else. So I appreciate this, and you've got me motivated. You got me thinking about 75 hard, and you got me motivated to go outside. I can see the sun shining right now. So I think I'm going to head straight out there once we hang up.
Yes, do it. And thanks for having me on. This is awesome. Just getting to talk to you and your audience, and like maybe providing just a little bit of a switch up. Cause I love all the science content you have. Like that's like the nerdy, geeky, whatever side of me that just wants to dive into that. And then that's what makes like podcasting so awesome, is that we can get all these different perspectives in.
Right.
Cause just listening to me, you'll only get so far. Just listening to you, you can only get so far. But
of course, we're limited.
Exactly. But when we all come together, that's when things actually happen. And that's like why the whole goal of the podcast is to change our generation, because it's really just about us all coming together and not accepting how health is currently going.
Right. Exactly. We have an opportunity to rewrite the narrative and the direction that generational health is in the future. And that's what your health class is. That's what Trevor Harris is. So thank you again, Trevor Harris. And we'll reconnect soon.
To discover more, this episode with all citations is available on the website. And you can also contact me on social media with any questions or comments. If you found this episode useful or think that it may help someone else, I encourage you to pass it along. Thank you all for joining me on this journey to lifelong health, happiness, and higher performance. And remember, always be grateful, love yourself, and serve others.